Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We welcome now Mark Vandermeer, voice of the Houston Texans. Mark, I promise we're going to talk sports. I promise.
Oh, it's okay, guys. I don't mind. I've been out in the hot sun for 2 weeks like everybody else. And, I'm ready for football, but I'm ready to talk anything. And when I hear Bobby Apare's voice, I know it's football season. I'm ready to go.
Mark, just what's it been like the last 3 years? It wasn't that long ago. In 2019, you had one of the best quarterbacks, up-and-coming quarterbacks in the league. And you guys were in a postseason, albeit lost to the Chiefs after a big lead.
But, and how shocking was that? What, 24-0?
But my point is, yeah, just how drastically things have changed in Houston over three short years.
Well, even though the offseason after that playoff loss was filled with some uncertainty in the fan base because of the trade of Hopkins and everything like that, you still had a lot of high hopes for 2020 despite the pandemic. Because you still had a lot of talent on the team and the quarterback and everything else. And then everything fell apart, guys. You know, they had a real difficult time defensively that year. They couldn't run the ball. They had a bad season, four wins. Then you have Watson requesting a trade. Obviously, O'Brien fired during the season, which was a huge development after an 0-4 start. But I think they came through it fine because – what, fine relatively for a rebuild, because then you get Nick Caserio and you feel good about that. Unfortunately, it didn't work out for David Culley here, but I got to say, like, where they are now, and you mentioned it, you know, it's been a tough couple of years, let's be honest. But with Lovie Smith now here for several months, Nick Caserio and he working together, the trade made, the draft choices acquired, it feels great here. It really does. Now, you got to play games, you got to win games. But relative to where you were in the offseason, where you are right now on the eve of the preseason opener, I feel really good about where the Texans are headed, and you just have to keep going up here. You have to improve from here, obviously.
Now, Mark, with that being said, you look at, and I was talking about this yesterday, you know, the performers didn't come close to matching the hype for the 2021 quarterback class. You look at when QBs going 1, 2, and 3 for the third time in the common draft era, and then 5 going off the board in the first round for the fourth time. And look, the expectations were high for Trevor Lawrence and company. But I don't know. You look at Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Justin Fields. I mean, to me, it was Mac Jones and Davis Mills that put skins on the wall. We look at Mac Jones, the rookie with the most success last season. You know, wanted one pick fifth amongst the first rounders. But Davis Mills, you know what I like about Davis Mills, too, and I know about Davis Mills? That's where T-Bob and all my kids went to high school, Great Atlanta Christian in Norcross, Georgia. So Davis Mills, I'm like a big Davis Mills fan. To me, he was a pleasant surprise, a rookie after being taken in the third round. And I always look at, okay, where were you at when you finally is gelling and you're getting ready to maybe understand things and concepts and all that? I was reading where I look at in his final 6 starts, he had 11 touchdowns and 3 interceptions, including back-to-back December wins against the Jaguars and Trevor Lawrence, and also against Justin Herbert and the Chargers.
Yeah, he definitely did much better down the stretch. You know, he came in week 2 at the half when Tyrod Taylor got hurt against Cleveland late in the first half, and it was too early. You know, it was too early for him. He didn't play as well as he wanted to, as anybody wanted him to, but he did have some moments. And then he sat for a while again when Taylor came back. And then you're right, when he came back, he was just a different quarterback and had some good games. And you know what I like, Bobby, is that, I'm sure you're with me on this. It's all about third down conversions in the fourth quarter. Whether you're behind or you're ahead, you got to keep moving the ball. And he was able to make some really clutch throws when he had the lead in both of those games against the Jaguars and the Chargers. Big throws on third down to maintain possession or score and put it away. And that's what you want to see. You want to see those clutch baskets. If you're a basketball player, it's like that. You got to make those clutch throws. And he did that. So I think the arrow's going up. He continues to improve. He's eons ahead of where he was at this point last year. So I'm anxious to see where he's at these preseason games, and they'll take it from there.
Dave, who are some of the lesser-known players on the Texans roster? Excuse me, Mark. Who are some of the lesser-known players that have kind of stood out a little bit in camp that the Saints fans are going to see a majority of because it is the preseason game number one?
All right, so you'll see Nico Collins a bit, who was a receiver drafted in the third round last year from Michigan. You know, he didn't play in 2020 because of COVID. Played last year and made some plays as the season progressed. Brevin Jordan, a tight end from the University of Miami, he was inactive early last year, but he came on strong late. And I think those two guys, they need them to have really significant years. They don't have to go to the Pro Bowl, but they have to really improve and show that they're headed in the right direction along with Mills. And, you know, I think the running backs are going to be interesting when you have Damian Pierce, rookie from Florida, and Marlon Mack trying to resurrect things with the Houston Texans after killing the Texans in the playoffs in 2018. You know, the Colts are the nemesis of the Houston Texans. So I like having Mack here. I think he still has the legs. So we'll see how that goes. They ran the ball very poorly last year. I mean, just terribly.
Yeah, dead last. Dead last, Mark.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you can take that up 10 notches, say, which is not crazy. If you can run it 22nd in the league, that's going to help Mills so much, because I think the unsaid and untold story of this team is the defense. Last year, I know the numbers don't look pretty, but that's because the offense really had a great deal of difficulty doing anything. So if you have this defense working with an offense that's, let's say, at least 22nd or something like that overall, I think that would make a tremendous difference for them, because they're going to control the ball. The defense has shown the ability to take it away. They were top third in the league in takeaways last year, top 10 in picks, and I think that's going to continue. Lovie Smith really coaches that hard, and he has shown no signs of letting up in that department. And I just think it's going to be really interesting to watch both sides get better. I think they'll win more than four. I don't know how many more. You know, that depends on a lot of things, but they will be better than they were last year.
Now, Mark, I'm glad you brought that up defensively, because when you look at Lovie Smith, it just clicks in my head that, I don't know, Tampa cover two defense, and it's not unusual. You know, what is your wheelhouse? Like Sean Payton was the head coach, but also he's calling plays, offensive coordinator, that he's operating as his own defensive coordinator, very similar to what Dennis Allen is doing with the Saints. I'm the head coach, but I'm the defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I think it's important, too. You know, sometimes you don't want to see that, but I think with him, you really do want to see that. He did such a terrific job last year. And I know, look, it didn't work out for him at Illinois. I know at Tampa, it didn't work out so well. I thought they gave up on him too early there. You look at his overall record. You look at what he's been able to do. I think it's always been about, can you get enough offense for him? Because he knows how to coach defense. Even when he's not the coordinator, a lot of those Bears teams played really good defense. So.
Right.
Let's see if that can happen here, and Mills can be the guy. Because, you know, back to him for a second, I thought Caserio made a smooth move drafting him in the third round, because, you know, he didn't have a lot of college experience, but hey, you know, let's just develop him. And here you are in year two, and he's played a bunch. He's got 11 starts under his belt. So he's not a rookie this year. And if it doesn't work out, you still have two ones in the 23 draft and two ones in the 24 draft to work with if you happen to need a quarterback and it doesn't work out with Mills. So they're in a pretty good situation overall as they try to get back to the postseason eventually.
Now, Mark, a couple of questions here. Just talking, and my brother-in-law lives in Houston, and just the fan base, seems like, boy, they were really down on all of us. How can you let DeAndre Hopkins go? And then I wonder if you still hear that. And then also, where's Brandon Cooks at? You know, Brandon Cooks has traveled, but he's put up seasons where he's a 1,000-yard receiver.
Yep.
Where is he at right now? Comment on that. And also about, because we're always interested in LSU players, Derek Stingley Jr., as far as going forward.
Stingley, you know, he's coming back from the foot, but you can see it at camp and, you know, people in the know. And I talk to a lot of people who know these things, and you just look at the footwork. You look at the way he operates around receivers. He's made plays at camp. I think he's going to start for this team day one. And, you know, we'll see how much they play him in the preseason. He's got to play some, but, you know, you want to be very careful as you bring him back from that Lisfranc. And you were asking about the Hopkins thing. You know, sometimes it still gets brought up. I know it's not that long ago on the calendar, but it feels like ages right. ago because it's two head coaches ago. It's two or three GMs. I mean, I can't even keep track. So it's another regime, put it that way. And I know what it was obviously a very unpopular move. They did it, though, and they got to deal with it. And you bring in Cooks after that. See, that's the one thing about that move. Okay, they didn't get the return that everyone was expecting. But you look at bringing in – they brought in Randall Cobb, who obviously is still of great interest to Aaron Rodgers. But they brought in Randall Cobb, and they brought in Cooks. And you guys know, Cooks is one of the most – underrated receivers in this league. He is so solid, such a great route runner, a playmaker. I don't think he gets talked about enough, but look, he's been with the Texans the last 2 years, and the Texans have only won four games each of those seasons, but he still put up numbers. So you get better as a team, Cooks is going to contribute. He's going to make plays. So I love having him around. You guys know what a solid citizen he is as well. So he's the kind of guy you want on your football team.
Yeah, I did a few radio remotes with him. I remember at Rouse's, he was outstanding. You know, anytime you're number one draft pick, I know Coach Payton, he always would speak highly of Brandon Cooks. Hanley, he's a pro. He's a pro. Look, he's like almost like a military brat. He's traveled, but he's produced at a number of different places. And Mark, the one position, and I think they've had or been amongst the best, I should say, is at the linebacker position. Or, but when you look, I can't think of his name. He's now D'Amico Ryan, who's now the D coordinator with the 49ers, going way back. You always seen those type players. What can you tell the folks about Christian Kirksey?
Well, he's that kind of guy. You know, he's a total leader and he's a playmaker. And I think they're pretty thick at the linebacker position. I'm going to knock wood as I say that. You know, Christian Harris, a rookie from Alabama, is dinged up a little bit right now. But when they get him going, that's going to be good. Kamu Grugier-Hill led the team in tackles and TFLs last year and had a much better than expected season. And they re-signed him in the offseason. They Kevin Pierre-Lewis is having a terrific camp for them. They've got a lot of guys that they can mix and match with. Garrett Wallow, a rookie last year, is playing well. And you brought up D'Amico, and I think it's interesting because they drafted Jalen Petrie, safety from Baylor, in the second round. And he reminds me in a safety sense, in a DB sense, of D'Amico Ryans as a rookie because obviously D'Amico played linebacker.
Right.
But day one in camp, D'Amico was such a leader, and people seemed to rally around him, and he made plays, and he was just a focal point. That's the way I see Petrie right now in the defensive backfield. I see him as a rookie who's a leader and a guy who's taking charge, and I think he's going to start and make a lot of plays for this team. You know, he echoes the Honey Badger a little bit. That's one of his big inspirations.
Right.
I don't want to put too much on him too early. I guess I am, but I'm excited about him. I think this draft class is going to yield a lot of fruit.
Mark Vandermeer, voice of the Houston Texans. Mark, bear with me on this if you would, please. So what's the buy-in of the fans right now, if that makes sense? What's the temperature around this fan base in the Texans?
Is it like wait and see, Mark, or what? Are they patient enough?
I think, you know, obviously in a football X's and O's way and wins and losses, I think there's a wait and see mode. But I got to tell you, there's an excitement about this football team. Lovie Smith just wins people over. He's a Texan. He's from Big Sandy, Texas. And he comes in and he talks about, man, it's great to have these Texas guys on the team. And then they draft Texas guys. You know, Petrie's from here, and et cetera. Austin Deculus is from here. Kenyon Green is from here. Those are three guys that they drafted that are not only Texans but Houstonians. And that's big with the fans. And, you know, Lovie says show up, show out. The fans are embracing that. They're embracing this H-Town vibe. And Cal McNair, the owner, and his wife Hannah, they were out making burgers for the fans this week at training camp, and they're in the stands giving away shirts. They're getting in touch with the fans on a personal grassroots kind of level, and I just haven't seen that around here. And, you know, as much as we loved Mr. McNair, it was great. But I think that they felt like there's a distance growing. You know, you're losing, and it's not fun for people to lose, but they want to really connect with the fans with the help of Lovie and the spirit here. They're doing that. And I think, you know, you win on top of that, it's going to be extremely powerful. Obviously, you got to win games, but so far, so good with that. I can feel the buzz and excitement But, you know, you got to get between the lines and knock people out of the way and score. Let's see what happens.
Mark, we all know that the league is eventually going to go to a two-game preseason schedule. Bobby and I have talked about this quite a bit, gone back and forth on this quite a bit. Do you think eventually, because we're seeing the popularity of joint practices with teams, right? Teams mm-hmm. are practicing together. The Saints are going to Green Bay next week for the practice with the Packers. Do you think that it could get to the point to where there's virtually no preseason games and they just value those reps with another team better?
Well, Lovie doesn't like them. I know that. And I would love to go to Green Bay next week, by the way, because it's lovely.
Has he explained why he doesn't?
He's probably old Lovie school.
Lovie does not like the joint practices. He thinks that there's fighting. It's just, yeah, you do get some competitive tape and everything and situations, but he'd rather just save that for games. And I'm not so sure. He hasn't said publicly whether or not, like, he would like no preseason games. But I think you're right that eventually we might get to something like that, that it'll dwindle. We'll go to 18 games and maybe two preseason, maybe just one. I don't know how they're going to handle it. I'm in the oppressed minority of people who enjoy preseason games. I really like them. And I like them especially, you know, people say, oh, we're not going to get to see the starters. The starters, I don't need to see them. I need to see the other guys, the
right.
guys who are fighting for jobs. I think that's the drama and excitement in preseason games. And you got to look within and get those storylines fleshed out. Then you can enjoy them.
Well, you know, Mark, it's not that far. I loved it. When the Saints in Texas, we went to Houston, y'all came to New Orleans. I looked at mm-hmm. proximity. No, I think it potentially could be in the future good for the fans and to have those joint practices, Saints and
oh,
Texans.
Yeah.
I enjoyed
that. You know, I remember the first time we went there in 08, Bobby, and that's when, you know, we did a lot of radio together and everything like
right.
that. The game at the end of that on Saturday night at the Superdome was as good a preseason game as you can find. I mean, like, if you look at the numbers, it was high scoring. I think it was like 31-27. It was really entertaining. You know, we had a good time. And, of course, the starters played a little bit more. But I really miss going there, and I hope to do that again one day.
Mark Vandermeer, voice of the Houston Texans. Have a good call tomorrow night.
Thanks.
All right. Well, thanks
Mark,
a lot for having me on, guys.
Thank you, Mark.
You bet. Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick, this is Sports Talk here on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.